Welcome to the Riverside Church podcast. We hope today's message encourages you and strengthens your walk with God. Enjoy the message.
We're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. This is the Apostle Peter writing, talking about the price that was paid over 2,000 years ago. It says, "For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good." Everybody say good. "For doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered." Everyone say suffered. "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, made alive by the Spirit." Come on, who's thankful for tonight that we're dead in the flesh but alive in the Spirit? That Jesus died, the just, he died for the unjust, he died for us. Now we're going to jump to a scripture written 700 years before the crucifixion took place, a scripture written by prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 53. This is him writing about the moments of crucifixion 700 years before it takes place. "So surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering." Turn to your neighbor and say, "My suffering." He bore our pain and he bore our suffering. "Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment," everybody say punishment. "The punishment that brought us peace was on him." The punishment that brought us peace, the punishment that brought us salvation, the punishment that brought us redemption was on him. "And by his wounds, we are healed." The title for tonight is this: The Cost of a Good Friday. The Cost of a Good Friday. Well, let's pray together tonight. Father, we thank you for gathering us, God, on this Friday night, God, on this Good Friday service, so that way we could press pause. So that way we could, Father, begin to be aware and understand the price that was paid over 2,000 years ago. Begin to understand that salvation didn't come cheap, that salvation wasn't free, but that our eternity came at a cost, that you paid a price that we couldn't afford, and that, God, we want to take a pause tonight to begin to, Father, just give you thanks for what you did. God, let us never get past the price. Let us never get past the cost of the cross and realize that what you did for us is something that we couldn't do for ourselves, that the price that was paid was one that we couldn't afford, that the death you died was the one that we deserved. But we call today a Good Friday because of what you did for us and for the price that you paid. We love you, Jesus. And everybody says, amen, amen. Come give Jesus a hand clap of praise tonight. And y'all can be seated. Y'all can be seated. Thank y'all for standing and honoring of reading God's word. One of the things that comes to mind when I think about the cross, one of the things that comes to mind when I think about Jesus, but one of the things that comes to mind is the cross that is right behind me. Because every time I look at this cross, I think about Jesus, but then also think about how about 5 years ago, if y'all were here, y'all would remember that this cross used to not be there, but it was all squares along the back. And about 4 or 5 years ago, Pastor Caleb remembers, we're like, man, we need to build a cross and put it, a big cross, and put it on the stage, because we just wanted, as soon as somebody walked in, to see the reason why we're here. That the reason why we're here isn't to glorify our name, that the reason why we're here isn't for some type of stage or lights, that the reason why we're here, as soon as somebody walks in, is that we're here for Jesus. And about 5 years ago, we built this cross, and as you know, Pastor Caleb, Pastor Bobby helped as well, and we're not the most artistic or creative, but it took us all, we stayed up all night, and it only cost us $100, amen, to build that cross. With some duct tape from Lowe's, and looked up YouTube tutorials and how to make that cross, and it's still up there today. If you would have told us 5 years ago that thing would still be surviving, but we built that cross because we know what it represents. We wanted that cross because we know that the cross represents the price that was paid. Matter of fact, the most recognizable symbol in the world today is the cross. That you could go to any four corners of the world, and if you had a cross on your t-shirt, or if you had a cross, they would know what it meant. And today, when we see the cross, we know that the cross represents a sign of hope, a sign of redemption, a sign of salvation, a sign of peace, a sign of love. But when you put it in the context of the time of Jesus, the cross wasn't the sign of peace that we know it as today. That in the time of Jesus, in the first century AD, when somebody saw a cross, they didn't think of peace, they thought of pain. When somebody saw a cross, they didn't think of salvation, they thought of suffering and torture and execution, because that is what the cross was put together, what was invented to do. The cross was made by, really perfected by the Roman government. The cross was made to employ the most greatest pain, suffering, and humiliation that somebody could ever endure. That the cross was created by the Roman government, and it was placed so that way people who committed the most hideous crimes and the people who stole and the people who murdered, that it was made for the lowest of lows. It was made for the worst of the worst. It was made not just so that you could die. It was made so that you could suffer. It wasn't made just so you could die quickly. It wasn't today we have, right? We have corporal punishment today, but what they had then was not just something to put an end to a life, but put something to bring it to the edge and to experience a suffering and a pain to the max potential that a pain could reach. And Jesus, maybe the only person who didn't deserve it, Jesus endured the cross for us. See, at that time, the cross in first century AD wasn't a sign of hope. It was a sign of execution. It wasn't a sign of peace. It was a sign of pain. It wasn't something that we see today, because when we see a cross, we think of love. We think of salvation. We think of the things that it has done for us. But when you saw a cross in first century AD, it was a sign of your death and execution. But Jesus chose what was a sign of death as the instrument to bring us life. Jesus chose what was a sign of suffering to bring us salvation. Jesus chose what was a sign of pain, torment, and torture as an instrument to bring us the truth. Jesus can turn all things for good. Amen. Jesus can turn around anything that the enemy might have conspired against us. Jesus can use it as an instrument for good. And Jesus used the cross as an instrument to bring our salvation. But Jesus chose to endure the cross. It wasn't something he was forced to do. It wasn't something that he was dragged out to do. It wasn't something that Jesus had Roman soldiers hold him down. It was something that he chose to do. It even says in scripture that if he really wanted to, legions of angels could have came and could have wiped out all the Roman soldiers. But Jesus said, no, I choose the cross. He chose the cross so that way we wouldn't have to. Jesus chose the pain so that way we wouldn't have to. Jesus chose the torture so that way we wouldn't have to. He chose the suffering so that way we wouldn't have to. And as I was getting prepared for tonight, and really last night, I just spent all of last night, I put some thoughts down, but I spent all of last night really just reading through the gospel accounts of the crucifixion of Jesus. And as I read, and as I began to read of the whippings and the lashings and the mockings and the pain and the suffering and the flogging, as I began to read it, I couldn't help but begin to feel tears dwelling in my eyes and a conviction in my heart, knowing that Jesus didn't deserve that death. Knowing that Jesus didn't deserve what he endured, but really the fact is that you and I, we are the ones who deserved that death. You and I, we are really the ones who deserved to die in that way. Matter of fact, Jesus was the only one who didn't deserve to die that way. Jesus didn't lie like you and I lie. Jesus didn't steal like you and I steal. Jesus didn't gossip the way you and I gossip. He didn't behave the way you and I behave. He wasn't prideful like you and I can be. Jesus was spotless. Scripture says that he was tempted in every way, yet knew no sin. But then he died the death that truly you and I deserved. Jesus died the death, not that he deserved, but he died the death that we deserved. And as I was reading of the beatings and the whippings and the lashings, because we can read about Good Friday and we read about what Jesus went through, and sometimes we feel uneasy about, we feel heavy in our spirit, we feel a little bit uncomfortable and begin to see, as we begin to read, because it's not a pretty scene. The gospel accounts could have this written, Jesus died. And they could have left out all the details. They could have left out the whippings and the lashings and the thorns in his head and the nails in his hands. And they could have left out all the things he went through. But they detailed what Jesus went through. And I believe it's because we need to know the price that was paid. I think that they wrote down that Jesus, that God inspired him to write down exactly the pain that Jesus went through, so that way we could see what he took on, so that way we didn't have to. So that way we could see the pain that he endured. That way we could experience the promise of his life. And as I began to read about the whippings and the lashings of the bones and stones, as the crown of thorns on his heads, and as I read the mockings and the spittings and the beatings from the Roman soldiers, and as I read how he carried the cross over 6 football fields across away, and how he was nailed to a cross, and how he endured that pain, as I began to read, I couldn't help but feel uneasy. And as I was reading, I almost wanted to skip over it because it was too much. As I was reading, I almost wondered, hey, can I skim over this and skip to the resurrection? Can I skim over this and skim over the nails in his hands and jump straight to the stole rolling away? But I realized that uneasiness I felt helped me understand the price that was paid. That uncomfortability that I felt as I read helped me understand that our Good Friday came at a price. Because if we're not fully aware of the price of Calvary, then we can't fully appreciate what Jesus did for us on the cross. Because if we just skipped over the crucifixion, we can't fully appreciate the cross. If we just skip over what he endured, we can't fully understand the price that was paid. Because only through understanding the cost can we truly appreciate the cross and know that our salvation and to know that our redemption and to know that our promise, that our salvation, it didn't come cheap. Your redemption wasn't something that was done easily. It came at a high cost. It came at a high price. It came at such a high price of pain that words can hardly describe the amounts. That our redemption wasn't free, but that Jesus paid a price for us. That Jesus paid it because he knew we couldn't afford it. Jesus paid that price because he knew we couldn't endure it. Jesus paid that price because he knew that we would never make it through. But that's the gift of Jesus, is that even though we couldn't afford it, he still paid it. Even though we couldn't endure it, he said, you know what? I'm still going to choose it. And even though we didn't deserve it, he still did it. Come on, who's thankful for what Jesus did for us on the cross tonight? Because Jesus died for us, not because we deserved it. Scripture says that while we were still sinners, he died for us. While we were still messed up, he died for us. While we were still addicted, he died for us. While we were still caught up in strongholds, he still died for us. He didn't wait for us to be good before he died. He said, while you're still bad, I'm going to die for you. And it wasn't because we deserved it. Jesus died for us because he loved us. Jesus loved you so much that he endured the cross for you. Jesus loved us so much that he endured the whippings on his back, that he endured the thorns on his head and the nails in his hands. Why? Because that's how much he loved us. Can I tell you that's true love? Because true love isn't what someone's willing to say about you. True love is what someone's willing to sacrifice for you. And Jesus didn't just say, I love them. Jesus said, I'll die for them. Jesus didn't just say good things about us to show his love. He said, you know, I love them so much that I'm willing to sacrifice my life for them. And that's true love. Love isn't what you're willing to say to someone. Love is what you're willing to sacrifice for someone. A couple weeks ago, my daughter, Selah, was sick with an ear infection and teeth coming in. She had 6 teeth coming in, and she was teething. And then she had a random rash come up. Haley and I was like, what's going on? It was like 3 things at once. And see, you could just look in her eyes, and you saw the pain that she had. And if you're a parent in the house, you know how hard that is. You know how hard it is to look at your child and to see him in pain and to know that there's nothing that you can do about it. Of course, we took her to the doctor, got all the medication that we could. But when your child is in pain, it's hard for you to rest, right? It's hard for you to sleep at night when you see that your child is in pain and that your child is suffering. And I remember praying one night when she was still crying and her ear infection was still there and she was still teething and all that. And she was running a fever. And I just was praying to God and say, God, let me endure her suffering so that way she wouldn't have to. I said, God, please, if there was a way that I could take on her pain so that way she could have my health, I'm willing to take on her sickness if that means that my daughter would be healed. And I can't think about, as much as we love our children and would do anything for them, how much more does God love us to send his son to die for us? Because God looked down at the world and he saw his children suffering and dying and in pain. And he said, I love them so much that I'm going to sacrifice my son for them. That's what 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 says about the love of Christ for us. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, it says this. Say, God showed how much he loved. Everybody say loved. God showed how much he loved us by sending this one and only Son into the world so that way we may have eternal life through him. God loved us so much that he said, I'm willing to wrap myself in flesh, go and experience humanity, and to take on the pain that they deserve so that they could be healed and set free. I'm willing to be sacrificed if that means their salvation. And he loved us so much that he sent his son. Verse 10, this is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice. Everybody say sacrifice. As a sacrifice to take away our sins. See, Jesus took on the pain for us because he loved us. Jesus put the thorns on his head. Why? Because he loved us. Jesus didn't call the angels in to defeat the Roman army. Why? Because he loved us. It wasn't the nails that kept him on that cross. It was the love for us that kept him on that cross. At any moment, he could have said, Father, save me, and sent the angels and the legion of angels to defeat everybody around him and for him to go into heaven. But he said, no, I love them too much. And he endured the cross because he thought that we were worth it. He endured the cross because he thought that you were worth it. That's point one for tonight is this. Is that Jesus paid. Everybody say paid. Jesus paid the cost because he believed we were worth it. Jesus looked at you and said, you are worth it. Jesus looked at us and he said, I'm willing to pay this because I believe that you are worth the price. I believe you are that valuable. You are only willing to pay for something based on what you think it's worth, right? The only reason why you will pay for something if you think it's worth the cost, right? Like if I grab this water bottle and said, this is worth $100, that doesn't mean it's now worth $100. Unless one of y'all want to pay $100 for this, right? But if somebody came up and bought this water bottle for $100, it doesn't matter if you think it's worth $5. It doesn't matter if somebody else thinks it's worth $10. Because somebody paid the price, it's now worth what they paid for. It's not what someone says that determines value. It's what someone's willing to pay that determines value. So it doesn't matter what maybe the world says about you. It doesn't matter what maybe people say about you. You want to know how I know you're valuable? It's because Jesus was willing to pay the price. The reason why I know your life has value is because Jesus said you are worth it on the cross. The reason why I know that you have value in this life isn't because the world says you do, isn't because people says you do, isn't because they say you do or don't. It's because Jesus says you do. That's how I know your life is valuable. That's how I know that you are worth it. It's because Jesus was willing to pay the price. And that's what makes us valuable. Is that Jesus paid the price for us. That's what makes us valuable, is that Jesus shed his blood for us. That's what makes us valuable, is that Jesus said, you are worth the cost. Now it doesn't matter what the enemy says about you. Now it doesn't matter what the world says about you. All that matters is what God says about you. And if he says you're valuable, guess what? You're valuable. And Jesus wasn't talk. He said, I'm willing to pay the price. And he put his life on the line for us. I don't know who needs to hear this tonight, but you are valuable. It doesn't matter what your friends say about you. It doesn't even matter what you say about yourself. Because Jesus says you're valuable, that makes you valuable. Because Jesus says you're worth the cross, you're worth the pain, you're worth the whippings and the lashings, that you're worth all that he went through, that makes you valuable in his eyes. That makes you valuable in the eyes of the Father. It's because Jesus was willing to pay the price. Come on, can we give God thanks for paying the price for us even when we weren't valuable maybe in the eyes of the world? Because it doesn't matter what the world says about you. Only matters what God says about us. So we talked about really how Jesus died, but I want us to go a little bit until talk about why Jesus died for us. Because Jesus didn't die for nothing. Jesus didn't die in vain. Jesus didn't die for no reason. Jesus died for us. Jesus died not for any reason. Jesus died on purpose. It wasn't an accident. Jesus showed up on an assignment knowing what he was here to do. And Jesus died so that way death could be defeated. Jesus died so that way we could be alive. And Jesus died that way we may be freed from sin. On our own, under the law, read the Old Testament, you will see and you will understand that humanity on their own cannot break the curse of sin. That on our own, it doesn't matter how much good we try to do, it doesn't matter how hard we try, we always fall up short. That all our own sin, sin that separates us from God, sin that makes us contaminated, sin that makes us unholy and unrighteous, us alone by our own works and merits, we fall short every time. And really, that's the story of the Old Testament, is to show us the need for a Savior. To show us that on our own, sin defeats us, but with Jesus, we now defeat sin. To show us that on our own, it doesn't matter how hard you try, we all need Jesus. It doesn't matter how much good we do, sin cannot be defeated on our own. And it was the problem and the issue of sin is the reason why God sent his son. Because God saw us suffering in sin, saw us stuck in the same cycles of sin, saw us stuck in the same prison of sin, and said, I'm going to now see that on your own, they can't do it. So I'm going to have to do it myself. I see that on their own, they fall short, but now I'm going to send my son to fix the issue of sin, to be the final sacrifice, to bridge the gap. 1 Peter 2:24 says this. It says he personally carried our sins. Come on, somebody say our sins. He personally carried our sins, not their sins, not somebody else's sins. No, our sins, my sins, your sins, our sins in his body on the cross so that way we can be dead. Everybody say dead. Dead to sin. And live, everybody say live, and live for what is right. Jesus died so that way we could be alive. Jesus died so that way sin could be defeated. Jesus died not for in vain, but Jesus died for a victory. And he died because he knew that the price of sin, that the debt of sin, that the stain of sin could only be washed by his blood. Here's point two for tonight is this, is that Jesus died for us. Everybody say us. Jesus died for us so that way we may become dead to sin. Jesus died for our wrongs so that way we now may choose to do what is right. Jesus died for us so that way we can now be dead to sin, so that way we can now no longer be a slave to sin, but scripture says now we are a slave to Christ. See, before Jesus, sin was our master. We all remember our life before Jesus, right? Before Jesus, it didn't matter what you did, it didn't matter how hard you tried, sin always steered you in the wrong direction. It didn't matter what type of mindsets we employed or self-help books we read or all these things we thought to do. Without Jesus, sin defeats us every time. And sin was our master before Jesus. But after Jesus, because of the blood, now sin was defeated and a new master stepped in. And now Jesus is our master. Now we are no longer held down by the weight of sin. Now we carry the freedom of Christ on the inside of us. Now we no longer have to be trapped by the sin cycle. Now we no longer have to be trapped by strongholds and generational curses and all the old. But now we have a new master. And when you have a new master and old enemies try to overwhelm you, and old thoughts try to come against you, and old things try to oppose you, now you don't have to fight sin alone. But now they have to deal with our master. So we are covered by the blood of Jesus. And when you are covered by the blood of Jesus, the old things are dead. The old sin is dead. The flesh is dead, and now we're alive in the Spirit. That means this: the things that used to be overwhelming you, now you can now overpower them. Before, you might have been overwhelmed by addiction, but now that addiction is dead, now you can overpower addiction through Jesus. Before Jesus, you might have been saying, oh, I had this generational curse, or I had this cycle of divorce or whatever it may be. Hey, those things are now dead. And now the new man is now alive under Jesus. And now we serve a new master. And so it doesn't matter what was before the blood. All that matters is that now we are made a new creation. It doesn't matter who we are before Jesus, because after Jesus, everything's washed away. It doesn't matter our past. It doesn't matter the mistakes. It doesn't matter what we may think can hold us back after Jesus. The new is here. And what's powerful about Jesus is that things that we didn't have before, Jesus can give us now. Before, maybe you didn't have the experience, but now with Jesus, you have the wisdom. Before, maybe you didn't have the understanding, but now with Jesus, you have the knowledge. Before Jesus, you might have said, I didn't have any talent, but now after Jesus, you now have grace. Before Jesus, you said, I wasn't a good businessman. Well, guess what? Now after Jesus, you're not a businessman anymore. Now Jesus has the business, and now you're just serving a master. And you give it to Christ, and Christ is the one who is able to make all things new. Because now the old is dead, and the new is alive. And now we have new strength in Jesus. Worship team, you can join me. When we think about Good Friday, and we think about the price that was paid, and we think about the whippings and the lashings and the thorns in his head, it should rise up something on the inside of you. It should rise up a gratitude on the inside of you. It should rise up a thankfulness on the inside of us, knowing that Jesus paid the price that we deserved. That Jesus endured the cross. Jesus endured all the beatings. Jesus endured all the things. Carrying the cross. Roman soldiers spat on him. Pharisees spat on him. The Savior of the world. God wrapped in flesh, the only one who didn't deserve it, endured what we should have endured. And when you read that about your Lord Jesus, something should rise up on the inside of you. where all you can say is thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you did on the cross. Thank you for the pain that you endured. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did for me. Because he did it, not because we deserve it. Jesus endured it, not because we were good people. Jesus endured the cross because he loved us. Because he loves you. Because he thought you were that valuable. He thought that you were worth it. Worth the pain, worth the cross, and worth all the beatings and the lies and the accusations. Scripture said he was like a lamb before the slaughter. The line of Judah, like a lamb before the slaughter. At any moment could have stopped it. But instead, he chose to endure it. At any moment could have said, Father, this is too much. But his love for us was so great. His love for us was so great that he stayed on that cross. He endured all that pain. He chose all those beatings. And the whole time we were on his mind. The whole time you were on his mind. The whole time he knew that this price had to be paid if my children are going to be saved. That my blood has to be spilt if sin is to be washed away. And that I have to die if my children are going to live. Can you stand to your feet tonight? Jesus endured all those things while having us on his mind and on his heart, knowing that what he was doing, knowing that he was doing it for his children. And when he was on the cross, in John chapter 19, verse 28, Jesus was on the cross, and after all the things have taken place, and after all the beatings and the bruisings and the whippings and the lashings and the thorns in his side and nails in his hand, after he endured the cross, in verse 28, it says that Jesus knew that his mission was now finished. Everybody say finished. Jesus knew his mission was to die, to suffer, and to endure, to go through pain. It says he knew his mission was now finished, and to fulfill, everybody say fulfill. To fulfill scripture, he said, I am thirsty. And a jar of sour wine was sitting there, so they soaked a sponge in it and put it on a hyssop branch and held it up to his lips. And when Jesus had tasted it, he said these words, it is finished. Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. I want to close with this thought tonight. Is that Jesus' sacrifice was finished, fulfilled, and forever. That the sacrifice that Jesus endured finished the work that he came to do. that the sacrifice that he endured fulfilled every prophecy that was said, fulfilled every work that was spoken about him, fulfilled every assignment that was placed on him. And the sacrifice was forever. That his blood not only covered the sins of the people of that time, but covered the sins of all to come forever. That he was the final sacrificed. And he cried out that it was finished. And that comes from the Greek translation meaning tetelestai. Jesus cried out tetelestai. And then he gave up his spirit. And that word tetelestai can be translated to also mean paid in full. When Jesus was on that cross and when he breathed his last, the words he said was paid in full. Knowing that his children, knowing that for all those to come, knowing that the debt has been washed away, knowing that sin, that the wages of sin was death. And he went on that cross and said, I'm going to pay it in full. I'm not going to pay halfway. I'm not going to pay barely enough to get by. No, I'm going to spill it all. I'm going to go through it all. I'm going to pay in full. Jesus' death finished the debt that sin cost. And now our sins have been paid in full. Now the blood has washed away all. Now you and I are righteous in the eyes of the Father because our Savior paid it all on the cross. Because Jesus said, you are worth it. Because Jesus said, I love you so much that I'm gonna die for you. I love you so much that I'm gonna pay it all and spill it all and endure it all and go through it all so that way my children don't have to. So that way my children can live. With every hand lifted, in this moment, if you're saying, Pastor CJ, I want to be covered by this blood. I want to accept this message that I've never even taken that first step of believing that Jesus, the Son of God, died for my sins. So that way, I may live. If that's you in the place tonight, in your own way, just begin to say, I love you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, for what you did on the cross for me. Forgive me for my sins. I acknowledge that I am a sinner in need of a Savior, and Jesus, I need you. And just begin to love on Jesus tonight. And if you're in this place and you just need to remind yourself of the price that was paid, just begin to have this be a holy moment and say, Jesus, thank you for the blood. Jesus, I thank you for the price that was paid. Jesus, I thank you for what you endured on my behalf, that you didn't deserve it, but you still chose it, that you didn't have to. But you chose the cross for me. You chose to die for me. You chose to suffer for me. So that way I could be saved. I feel God's presence in the place tonight. just begin to press into this moment. Lift up your hands. We're about to sing together. But just begin to thank Jesus for what he did for you on the cross. Begin to give him praise. We thank you, Jesus. You're so good to us, God. We thank you for the blood. God, we thank you for the sacrifice. We thank you for the spotless lamb, for spilling his blood so that way we could be alive. Jesus, we thank you that you died so that way death could be defeated. Jesus, we thank you that you spilled your blood so that way the stain of sin could be washed away. Jesus, we thank you that you got God's stripes on your back so that way we could be healed, that he put thorns on your head so that way we could be alive, that he put nails in your hand so that way we could be free, that God, you endured the pain and the suffering so that way we could have peace and the strength, that God, you endured it all so that way we could have it all. You endured the death so that way we could have the life. You endured, Father, the pain so that way we could have purpose in you. Come on, let's begin to thank him tonight. Worship him, praise him, thank him, sing out to him, and begin to give him praise.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you liked what you heard, be sure to subscribe and share it with a friend. For more information about who we are, visit RiversideChurchTX.com.